Welcome tonight. We are going to continue on with our questions. I had a question that was put in the box here, and as I had alluded to earlier, talking about Bible study methods and how we go about doing those, there's a lot of questions that individuals will have when it comes to how we go about studying the Word of God. And, you know, a lot of people are going to give you your opinion, give you their opinion of what they think, is the way that, the Word of God should be studied. But, as we know, it's often, incorrect, and it's often, very much, sometimes inappropriate. People will use man's methods to attempt to study the Word of God, and that does not work sometimes. There are certain principles that, yes, may be applicable, but we're dealing with a supernatural book. We're dealing with something that was written by God who is not like us. And there are a lot of things that we see as we study Scripture that are a lot deeper than just the surface level reading of it. So we're going to take a look at some things about Bible study tonight. We're going to go through a couple of ideas, but we're also going to take a look and see specifically what the Bible says about certain things and how we're to go about doing that. And we'll get into the question here in just a moment. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we will get started this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity to be here tonight, and I'm so thankful for what you give to us from your word. I do pray that as we engage this evening in your word, that it is something, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will show us that is important in our life. There is a purpose behind why we study. There is a reason behind the things that we do that are supposed to be pleasing unto you. And I pray that as we endeavor to look at this subject matter this evening, that, Lord, you would just use our minds and our hearts, Lord, in a way that would glorify you as we see the intent of what you have given to us and the design of how we look at Scripture, that it would truly give us the idea about how we're to work and labor in your word. And that, Lord, we would understand that it is something that is going to require a diligent effort. And it is something that will require many hours and many, many years of our life. But, Lord, I pray that we would just understand these very simple points that we're looking at this evening. I thank you again, Lord, for your word that you give to us to guide us, to direct us. And I pray that all of this that is done tonight would be pleasing and honoring in your sight. All of this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read this verse because the question here does quote that specifically in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I want you to see here in verse 17, there's a purpose. And the purpose is so that we would be able to fulfill the word of God, will of God. In verse 17, he says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now again, we know that according to Ephesians chapter 2, over there, it talks about good works, that we are ordained unto good works, that the Lord desires that we have good works after our salvation. That's what's pleasing unto him. That's how we live this new life. We live it in a way that glorifies him. And we find very clearly that in this passage, as Paul is telling Timothy about these things, there's something that he reminds him of back a little bit into verse 14 here, just to kind of give the context why he's saying this. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Thou hast learned. And has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is an important principle that we see that Paul is teaching Timothy here. And he's saying, look, you already have learned some things. Timothy's background that he had a very faithful mother and grandmother that were teaching him. And we find that Paul is reminding him of those things, reminding him to say, look, here's what you need to stick with. If you stick with the Word of God, you'll be okay. Things will be fine. You're going to do well because you're going to please God and you're going to be perfect, as he says in verse 17. Understanding that all scripture has profit. All scripture has profit. The question that is asked is this, that was put in the box. It says, how should I read my Bible? I normally follow through the Bible in 1 year plan. But lately, I've been thinking I should focus on passages that lend more meaning to me in my life. I know all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, etc. 66 is the canon, if you will. Those are the books that we talked about. What about other texts of scripture? Those are the ones that sometimes people, and we kind of mentioned some of those not too long ago. It was one of the first questions that we addressed. What about those other books? What about things in the Apocrypha? What about the book of Enoch? What about the book of, the Gospel of Thomas and, you know, the Gospel of Judas and things of that nature. Some books that obviously we saw there's to be avoided, and there's also ones that are not in Scripture because they have things that do not align with what the Word of God says. We actually read some of those from those passages and saw that there was some major doctrinal issues that did not align with what was being taught. So we know that those were not written by those specific disciples or apostles or anybody that was in the Bible. And, again, some of those things are very blasphemous and very heretical in nature. But he says, the continuance of the question is, where it says, and all scripture is profitable, but in my experience, some verses are more profitable than others. You know, it's really hard to take some of the verses that you see over there in Numbers, in the genealogies, and if you will, make that profitable for you. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have profit. It just means that it's hard. It's difficult. And it says, isn't there some reason to focus on scripture that has provided maximal profit in the past? I like this part. It says, as Americans, we're fully focused on the bottom line of the P&L statement. And if you don't know what accounting is and you don't know what the P&L statement is, good for you. anybody that deals with numbers and finance knows exactly what that is. And if you will, that's the bottom line. It's your profit and loss. It's showing where you stand. And when we think about that for a moment, we think about this as a very serious question. And as I've often stated, there's specific ways that we are to go about using the Word of God. Now, if you take a look here in 2 Timothy, and we're going to go over to chapter 2 here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, another passage that is very familiar. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we see over there in chapter 3 that he's talking about very specifically that it is for the purpose so that you would know what good works you're supposed to be doing. So that you can be perfect. You can be thoroughly furnished. And I've talked about that before. And I'll just make mention of it. I won't go into, you know, the dissertation about it. But, you know, if Paul says, what know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he uses the example of the temple, what did the temple have? The temple had furnishings. Temple wasn't empty. Temple had stuff in it. What did it have? It had an altar. It had a laver. It had a table of showbread. It had candlesticks. It had an altar of incense, and it had a mercy seat. Those were all furnishings. And if you will, there's a parallel of those things that we need to look at in our life that we can use and say, hey, I need an altar where I sacrifice things to God. Romans 12, just going to say it. There's you know, obviously altar of incense. Incense being very much like prayer. We understand the mercy seat, that this blood had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. There's a covenant of testimony that is behind that mercy seat that truly shows God's promises. I mean, there's so many things that we see about those furnishings and why those are important. But what we find here in this passage and in talking about studying, and we'll get to this in just a moment, where we're talking about the difference between reading and studying, but it is where it's talking about study, the way that you're going to do the study is you're going to study in such a way that you show yourself approved unto God. How many of you guys remember high school? Was there ever a test that maybe you just were not, you didn't study up for? You just kind of went, I think I can do this. And then you got in there and you were like, I can't do this. And I don't know if it resulted in a class you had to retake or, you had to figure it out one way, shape, or form. I had a few of those in college where there was a biology test that for some reason I just walked in and completely went blank on. I had no idea. I mean, I bombed that thing. I got a 54. And you're like, well, you're proud of that 50. No, I am not. You know what I'm proud of, if you will, if you want to put it that way? I'm thankful that God had that professor have mercy upon me and realize exactly that I just messed up and I knew the stuff because I was doing good in the labs. I'd done well in the quizzes and the other tests. And it was the midterm, by the way, that I bombed. So it wasn't just any test. And she said, look, if you do well on the final exam and you continue to do well in all of your reports and your final project, you will be fine. You'll pull a C out of the class. And I'm like, oh, praise God. And I did. And again, to use a biblical term, by the skin of my teeth. it was close. But again, you know, maybe I didn't study well enough. I don't know. I mean, regardless of whatever it was, you know, sometimes we just don't study well enough. Sometimes there's just tests we just think we know the material and we don't. But God wants us to study in such a way, His Word, that we would do so that would be pleasing unto Him. This is His book, by the way. This belongs to Him. Every word on this page is important to Him. Every word that we see in all of these things, all of these phrases, all of the paragraphs, all of the accounts, everything that is recorded here, everything that is inspired, everything that is preserved is there for a reason. We may not understand the reason. And as I've said before, you know, Solomon goes over there and he says, there's some dark sayings in Proverbs. Meaning you got to really search them out. You got to want to know what they mean. And that requires some study. But what we find with these passages of Scripture is we find that the Bible is not just to be read as if it is some sort of novel. It's not a history book. It's not something that we can just say, oh, it's going to provide me some basic understanding. And while I understand that, yes, there is history that is in here, and while I do understand that, yes, there is some basic elements that we have. I mean, you know, even when we're talking about our children's program, we call it basic because there are some basic things that we should understand. It's much deeper than that. If we just relegate it to those things, we're not going to understand what the Bible is trying to say. we're not going to understand what God's will is for our life. So there's some things that we have to do about, if you will, principles of profit. How do I find profit in Scripture? Well, I'll tell you this. One of the first things you have to do is you have to read the Word of God. And I talk about these things all the time. And I always used to say, look, you know, when you take a look at the Word of God, you have to approach it with this. So before we start talking about reading and the rest of all of this, let's understand that when you approach the Word of God, you need to approach it with prayer. God's talking to you. You need to make sure you approach it with the right heart. You need to make sure you're not approaching it maliciously. You need to make sure you're not approaching it with some way of, well, I'm going to find a way to, you know, destroy this person, or I'm going to find a way to justify my sin, or I'm going to find, no. That is the wrong approach. When we approach the Word of God, we approach it with a humbleness of mind and a humbleness of heart. We are approaching it with a desire for God and His will, and we are truly seeking, if you will, that profit in our life of Scripture for His glory. Those good works aren't to boast about us. Those good works are for Christ, so that He gets the glory, He gets the honor, He gets the praise, He gets the worship. Not so that we can get accolades and laurels. Not so that we can say, well, look at me. But it's for the, if you will, the profit of God. His glory, His honor, His praise. So when we take a look at this, understanding that we approach it with that mentality, that we approach it with that heart attitude, and we approach it with prayer, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to read the Word of God. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to study the Word of God. Now, reading can just be just that. You sit down and you read. And you read and you read to understand. Don't speed read. Okay? Don't speed read the Bible. That's not how you read your Bible. Don't read every other word. Because if he says that every word is important, every jot and every tittle, then guess what? It means something. We need to make sure that we take that into account and we say, okay, every word of God is pure, then I need to make sure that I am listening to every word of God that he says. You ever heard that person or have that person in your life that hears every other word out of your mouth? Children. you know, sometimes you try to explain to them to do something, and whether it's a coworker, whether it's children, whatever it is, and they hear every other word and they don't understand what you just said. Because they were too busy, if you will, trying to listen fast without listening with diligence and intent and purpose. So what do? We need to read the Word of God. We need to make sure that we read it in such a way that we are reading and understanding every word that is there. Now, sometimes you're going to engage in something that's a little bit more, if you will, laborious. Because there are things that when you have to go through the Word of God, the Lord is going to say, hey, that's an interesting thing. So this is what I always like to tell people to do. When you read the Word of God, what you do is you have your Bible there, and then you have a notepad next to you. Or you have something that you can write down on, whether it's a tablet, you're doing electronic notes and things of that nature. I finally wound up using some more electronic devices because I had a hard time remembering where I put some of my notebooks. But the idea is, you know, you want something that is going to be able to record that thought and that note. So if you're reading something and all, as you go along, as an example, let's just take this. You're reading over there, in Hebrews chapter 11, and you see that word, faith, and you're like, man, I want to study some more about that faith. And if you're reading, take time to read, and you write down on that piece of paper, faith. What is faith? And you write that down. And then you just continue reading. And you go through and you get the understanding. And here's why. Because like I said, I was in a meeting the other day and people were asking these questions. And they were asking and they were interrupting. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you just let the guy finish his presentation, you'll get your answer. Quit interrupting. And what was supposed to be an hour meeting wound up being 2 hours. And at that point in time, I check out. Because it's like, okay, just let him finish. And at one point in time, I wanted to stand up and say, just let him finish. But I wasn't running the meeting. So sometimes it's better to just sit there, write that down, and then as you read, you might get your answer. Whereas if you go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do that, and then you bust out the concordance, and you're busting out everything else, and you're looking at all these things, and then you're like, you're searching, and you're like, oh, you're getting deep into it. And then you get to a verse, and you go, oh, it was the very next verse had my answer. And you're like, ah. You know, the Lord does that on purpose. So just going to say that. I've done it before, and I've learned, just write it down, just keep moving. And then I'll get there and I'll be like, oh, so you did answer the question. Write that down. Okay, got the question answered. There you go. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Sometimes he reveals that to you. Sometimes, you know what? That's a point that he wants you to study further. Whether it's you're studying for teaching, which, by the way, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says that we as believers are to teach each other. That's not just Sunday school teachers, by the way. That's not just junior church teachers. That's just not parents with children. And that's not just pastors. We should all be able to teach each other. Now, does it mean that you're actually standing up here behind a pulpit and you're teaching? Not necessarily. That's not always how it works. I mean, when you get taught on, you know, on-the-job training, there isn't a guy up there in a lecture format. What is he doing? He's saying, okay, you push that button now. Watch what happens when you push that button. This is what you need to do with this. This is what you need to do with that. This is how you change that screen. This is how you move this. This is how you, you know, he walks you through every single thing about what you need to know, right? It's one-on-one teaching. It's one-on-one education. And sometimes people need that. Sometimes people, that's what's required for them to grow. In the knowledge of God and in the knowledge of His will. So that's where the study comes in. And again, if you're given something for that the Lord says and lays on your heart that you need to study, and trust me, you will know when that happens. It looks something like this. As you're studying and you read where it says, and again, using Hebrews 11, 1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you go, man, what does that really mean? Have I really thought about that? Have I really studied that out about evidence and substance, about what is hoped for and what is not seen? And how does that all relate to faith? There's got to be something more to that. Look, and if you're reading that and there's something like that thought comes to your mind, that is the Holy Spirit teaching you and saying, look, you need to do something about that. Don't disregard it. Don't just go, well, I'm sure Pastor Ken will get to it eventually. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Because look, everything that comes out of this pulpit isn't necessarily going to be what you need in that day, or in that week, or in that month, or in that crisis in your life. Sometimes you've got to do that your own. Again, as I say, Word of God is like food, right? How many of us go out to eat every single day, 30 meals a day? Very infrequently do we ever do that. And I tell you this, it would get a little old and a little expensive after a while. Unless you're going down to the corner market and getting a 79 corn dog. 79 cents corn dog. Which I'm sure with inflation it's probably now $1.25. But you understand what I'm saying is at some point in time you have to go prepare food for yourself. You need to know how to prepare food for yourself. You need to know how to study for yourself. So part of the reading process and part of, if you will, approaching the Word of God and understanding the Word of God is going to require study, as he says here. By the way, this passage, again, while it shows up in a pastoral epistle, isn't just for pastors. Go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. And I will tell you this, when it comes down to the issue of study, it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. Studying out a lesson isn't always easy. Sometimes you're like, oh, okay, you know, and the points just align themselves and you're like, oh, well, praise God. And he gives you that and you're great. Sometimes though, you know what he wants you to do? He really wants you to dig. Because as we read over there, when we're talking about wisdom, what do you have to do? You have to search for her as hid treasure. That takes effort. That takes digging. That takes looking. Again, it's like the person that sits there and goes, can somebody please tell me what I did with my pen? Please, somebody tell me what I did with my pen as I'm holding it here in my hand. You're like, well, did you even look? No, I just need you to tell me where my pen is. People with glasses sometimes do that. They move them up on their wherever, and they're like, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? And then, you know, somebody pulls them down, and like, oh, they're right on your head, where they should be. Sometimes I've done that with my own glasses where I have them on. I'm like, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Oh, they're on my face. It happens. It happens. I didn't, you know, as while I was looking diligently, I wasn't looking in the right place. But sometimes, you know, people don't do that. Some people just don't diligently seek. They don't seek the things of God. But it's going to be laborious. If you take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, and Solomon has gone on about vanity and gone on about the things of life and what they don't provide. And he concludes it in the end, and obviously in verse 13 and 14 is, if you will, another one of those statements that is, if you will, a mission statement, a purpose, if you will, for life. But in verse 12, he says, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. There are spiritual things that will exhaust your physical body. And I'll be transparent. Sundays, I'll go home and look, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but if you sometimes text message me on Sunday and you don't get an answer, don't take it personal. I'm just in a semi-comatose vegetative state. Because it will take a lot out of you. And look, teaching kids, oh, that'll take a lot out of you too. You want to testify to that, Mike? He's going to get up here and he's going, oh, yeah. Are you worn out after today? We heard you up here. So you get worn out. You can get worn out by those things. There's physical things, excuse me, there's spiritual things that are going to wear you out physically. And I will tell you this, if you truly engage in the study of the Word of God, it will. There are times when I'm studying for subjects and I'm studying for heavy subjects, or I'm studying for something that may be a question that's a little bit deeper than just the normal surface ones, and I'm going through that. There are times I have to just like push the books back and go, okay, I gotta just break here for a moment. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. Look, don't ever read the Word of God to fall asleep. Just like I say, don't pray to fall asleep. Some people will say, well, I'm having difficulty sleeping. Well, just pray and you'll fall asleep. Ah, no. No, you're teaching yourself a bad, bad habit. Don't do that. You know what you need to do? You need to have peace with God in order to have that sleep. That's what the Bible says. That's when you get the best rest, when you're at peace with God. Maybe you need to pray and get some things fixed with God, because that might be why you're up. Not always the case, but you understand what I'm saying. But don't read the Word of God to the point of exhaustion where you just collapse. Read the Word of God so that you understand what God is telling you. That's the intent behind it. Study so that you understand what God is telling you. Sometimes you have to stop and take a break. Could you imagine having a class in college where the class schedule went like this? For 8 hours of the day, we are going to study anatomy and physiology. 5 days a week for the next 3 months. I'd be like, you know, I think I'm going to go sling some stone with Mike Nemeth. That's a tough thing to do. You know what? They break it up for a reason. Because there's only so much that you can retain for a period of time. We know children have a very short attention span. Amen? Amen. Everybody said?
Amen.
There we go. Children have a short attention span. Adults have an even shorter attention span.
Amen.
There we go. And we blame it on ADD and ADHD and whatever else is there. But the fact is we just don't pay attention. Because we think we know. And we think we know what we don't know. And the fact is we don't know what we don't know, but we know that we don't know it. And you're like, sorry, the election is still on my mind. But you see here, he's saying, look, you're going to have some weariness. You're going to have to study. You got to break it up. You can't just do that. Now, again, that's going to be different for every person. And I'll tell you this, you know, sometimes when you talk about reading the Word of God, there's a lot of things that are going to be involved in that. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But you're going to do it some different ways. Not everybody's going to read the same way that I read. Not everybody's going to read the same way that you read. So we have to understand there's some specific things about it. Not only do you read, not only do you study, but you need to memorize the Word of God. You need to practice memorization. Memorization is not just for Sunday school. Memorization is not just for junior church and basic. Memorization is not just for children. When David wrote that passage, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," was he a child and was he talking only to children? No, he was talking to adults, and he was an adult. Adults should do that. Adults should do that. You're like, well, I have difficulty memorizing. I get that. I have difficulty remembering my own day, own name sometimes. The other day I woke up and I could not remember for the life of me what day of the week it was. I started having a little bit of a panic. Thank God for the cell phone that told me what day it was. But I will tell you this, I'm pretty confident that each one of us here can learn how to memorize at least one verse, or at least a couple of verses. And while it may be a challenge, I tell you this, the harder you work at it, the more God will bless. The more God will bless. Memorize it. As David talks about in the Psalms, meditate on it. Meditate. When you read, you should meditate. Take a moment and stop and think about what you just read. Take a moment and think about, how is that going to apply to me? How is that going to be profitable to me? Because there are some things that, you know, obviously you go through some of the genealogies. There's going to be a struggle for some profitability that you may not necessarily see right off the bat. But when you begin to realize that those genealogies are there for a reason and there for a purpose, you know, there's people that sit there and they struggle with some of what they quote unquote call the errors in the Bible about whether or not one king was 42 years old or 22 years old when he reigned. And I will tell you this, there's no error when you start studying the genealogy. And you realize that at one point in the account, he was actually co-regent, and one statement is talking about him being ruling on his own, and the other statement is talking about when he was ruling with his dad. All of those names and those numbers and those years all have a reason behind why they're there. They all have a reason. Because again, all scripture is profitable. Now, as this question was asking, you know, well, isn't there some more profitable than others? I will tell you this, yes and a resounding no at the same time. I'll read a quote by Oswald Chambers that says, am I learning how to use my Bible? The way to become complete for the master's service is to be well soaked in the Bible. Some of us only exploit certain passages. Our Lord wants to give us continuous instruction out of it. Continuous instruction turns hearers into disciples. Now, when you think about that for a moment, yeah, there are some verses that are going to have more meaning to you with what you're going through at that point in time. But I will tell you this, if you focus only on one thing, you're going to have a hard time in your Christian life. You're going to struggle. Look, I understand that you know, when you study and you can study a certain passage for a period of time, but if you go over there and you read, let me just pick any book. If you read Ezekiel every day for the next year, you're going to have some issues with growth. And you might have, when you walk out of that, you might have some crazy doctrines. I've known of people that have done that. They focus on one book and they don't deviate from anything else. And the next thing you know is their doctrine has changed. Be careful. Be careful. All scripture is profitable. Mix it up. Mix it up. Also, one thing that when we talk about reading, we talk about studying, we talk about memorizing, we talk about meditating. Obviously, we talk about praying and the approach to it. But there's another one that I always like to add on there that I don't always talk about because it's kind of something that we should understand. But that is what you read, what you study, what you memorize, and what you meditate on, you need to apply. Because we're not to be hearers only, but doers. We need to find out how we are going to apply that in our life. How do we apply that to wisdom? And I will tell you, there are things in the Bible that we are not going to understand. As I've said before, I don't think any of us here is going to say they understand the book of Revelation 100%. I don't think anybody is going to say that we can understand the book of Ezekiel 100%. There's some things in there that I don't know. And I, you know what? I'm never going to know till the other side of glory. Because there's stuff in there that's difficult. And again, I don't plan on being around here for the tribulation period. So I'll tell you what happens during that period of time and the descriptions that are there, I don't think anybody's fully understood that. And no, because why? Nobody's ever lived during that period of time. Because as the Lord says, there's never been a period of time like that is going to be on the face of the earth. So how can anybody give any type of semblance of saying, I know what that means? We can't. We can't. We're not going to understand everything. And you know what? We need to be content with that. Jesus told the disciples, you're not going to understand the things I need to tell you. There's stuff that when you look at the Old Testament saints, they did not understand what was going to happen with Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. I mean, the disciples were short-circuiting. People were short-circuiting about what was going on. I mean, they actually thought he was dead. Not dead to rise again, but they thought he was gone. And they were despondent about the whole thing. And then they were still befuddled by the fact that the tomb was now empty. And it was until he appeared to them that they began to go, oh. And then what you read over there is it says, then they remembered.
Yes.
Then they remembered. So you know what? Read. Understand what you read from the perspective of, okay, I know what those words mean and I know what they mean in that order, but I don't understand the intent. I don't understand the application of why. You just continue on to read, because later on, you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to show you something. There was a man in this church. He's just started reading the Bible for one of the very first times. He comes up to me and he says, I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, oh, amen. He says, I started in Genesis. I'm like, I know where this is going. He said, I got through Genesis. I got through Exodus. And he said, now I'm in Leviticus. And he said, what is that? And I said, just read it. You'll understand it later. And he did. And then he got to Hebrews and he went, oh. It made sense. It made sense. Again, you're not going to understand everything at first. You may understand when you get to other passages of Scripture that reveal light upon light. And you might be able to say, okay, now I know what that means. Now I understand that. So when we think about all these things about, is there certain Scriptures that are only profitable right now? No, we're not going to pigeonhole ourselves into the hyper-dispensationalist movement and say, oh, the only, you know, only two verses over in the book of Ecclesiastes are for us, or not, excuse me, Ephesians, are for us. We don't believe that. We believe that all Scripture is profitable. I can get a lot from the Old Testament. And I can get a lot from the New Testament. New Testament shows what's going on in the Old Testament. The Old Testament shows what's going on in the New Testament. We talked a little bit about that on men's Bible study the other night. I mean, there's important principles that we understand about what the Bible does and what the Bible says for us. And yeah, we're not going to understand everything. And look, as I say in counseling many times, I really wish I had a little magic Jesus pill I could give you, and then you'd swallow it, and then you would have all revelation. But that's not how it works. You've got to study it. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate. You've got to memorize it, and you've got to apply it in your life. So that all goes under the category of how do I read my Bible? Now, from the, if you will, the practical standpoint of the question of, you know, I read through my Bible in a year. Praise the Lord for that. Just make sure you understand what you read. And don't just relegate it to only reading, but also you need to study it as well. Look, there is nothing mandated in Scripture that says you have to read your Bible in a year.
Right.
You know, there's some times that you know, I'm going through and I'll read my Bible in the day and I'll read it, and then I will sit on one verse and I'll read it and I'll read it and I'll read it again. And then I'll go, okay, you know what? I think I need to stop and I need to meditate on that for a while. I need to think about that. And if it leads to a Bible study, then so be it. But there are times where it's very clear the Holy Spirit says, stop, I want you to listen. And I want you to think about it. And then we'll deal with the rest. So this is what we need to understand. Turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 11. So when we talk about what is a right way or a wrong way about how we read the Bible, again, there is no biblical dictate or mandate that says you must read it in a year. There is nothing in there that specifically says this is how you have to go about reading it. And the closest thing you're ever going to find to it in the Bible itself is if you go over to where he starts talking about how the kings were supposed to have their own copy of the Word of God. I will tell you this, if you really truly want to do that and you want to find a biblical way about how to read the Bible, do exactly what the kings were instructed to do. Write your own copy. Sit down and retype it. And for those people that sit there and hunt and peck, it's going to take you a long time. And for those of you that were excelled in penmanship, but it took you forever to finish the penmanship exercise, it's going to take you a long time. As you sit there and draw the A, B, that's going to take you a while. I guarantee you, by the time you get to the end of Genesis, you'll be like, it'll look like a doctor's prescription. Where, you, again, you know, Dan will testify, sometimes you're... And praise God for the fact that a lot of it is electronic nowadays. That's helped out a lot. But I will tell you, sometimes that handwriting was difficult. Now, again, we're not talking about something specific about as far as how we're supposed to go about doing it, but reading in a year, okay, that's good, but you need to make sure you know what you're reading. You need to make sure you understand that. When I was young, what I was told to do was read 7 chapters a day, which was great when you got to the small books. Then all of a sudden, your world comes to a crashing end when you get to Psalm 119. Or you get to some of those passages over there in the Gospels, and you're reading, and you're like, I thought this was going to be a short one. Well, there's 67 verses. That's one chapter. You start praying for those psalms that are 2 verses long. Again, you want to make sure that you're reading it because you want to read it. Don't read it because you have to read it. Read it because you desire to read it. Read it because it's something that is so important to you that you can't live your life without reading it. Because that's the way it's supposed to be treated. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, he says, therefore ye shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and when thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that in your days, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And he says, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, then thou will the Lord will drive out all of these nations from before you, and shall possess, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. That was a promise that was given to Israel. Now, I just want to point out, there's some application that we can get from this. But this was specifically given to Israel. We're not driving out any nations. That's just not what we're doing right now. We're not part of that. Again, the body of Christ isn't promised a nation. That's not our inheritance. But what we see here is we see some principles. You know, there's a principle, you do what the Word of God tells you to do, you will extend your life. Now, again, it's not 100% that you're going to have that, because there's times that the Lord may take you home for whatever reason that is. You need to be content with all of that. But I will say this, you know, living a life of sin where you're putting your life in jeopardy every single day when you go and rob people, or you rob a bank, or you're doing drugs, or you're drinking yourself to the point where your liver is screaming at you, then yeah, you're going to have some consequences. Your life might be cut short by your own actions. You bring evil upon yourself. But what we understand is we find that he says here, and he says this, and he also repeats this earlier about how people are supposed to do this, how the nation was supposed to do this. You know what? I can take this and I can apply it, and it's very profitable for me. It's profitable. It's profitable for my children. It's profitable for you. That's profitable for generations after you. We should all be thankful to the Lord that somebody told us about the gospel and told us about our need for a Savior. And whether that was passed on or however that came to be, it was somebody told somebody that 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 told somebody. Praise God for that faithfulness. And praise God that that happened. But what are we supposed to be doing? We see here very clearly, this is talking about the Word of God. This is talking about the Word of God. And by the way, they didn't have all this written down yet. They had what was written down, but they didn't have it accessible the way you guys have it right now. So you know what they had to do? They had to memorize a lot of it. They had to go to the priest. They had to know how to discern what was right instead of just assuming. One thing that is very clear, if you go over to Psalms chapter 19 and in verse 18, David writes there, he says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, I can't help but look around at everything that God has created and just look at it and go, wow. Man, I was watching something the other day because, again, I'm kind of one of those space buffs. I really like, you know, the things that are out there and the pictures and things. And they had this, they were zooming in on this this cluster of light in the sky. And they zoomed in and they got closer. And they got closer and they got closer and they got closer. And they call it, you know, they kind of have these terms. And it was like what they referred to as like a star nursery, where nurseries, where stars begin to form and things of that nature. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, wow. That is a wondrous thing to see. It was beautiful. That's God's handiwork. You realize that same type of stuff is found right here in the Word of God? That's found right here in the Word of God. There's stuff in here that when I read and the Lord opens thou mine eyes, guess what? I see what God's trying to say. And if you will, that should be the prayer that we have. So don't focus so much on reading through in a specific time frame. Focus on praying that, Lord, you'll open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things out of your word. That's what we should be praying for. That's what we should be desiring. You go over in the book of Acts, you remember those individuals that were over there that had this desire, the Bereans, as they were called. What did they do? They studied the word of God daily. I've had people ask me the question, well, how often should we have church? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, evening service and midweek services, those are the lowest attended services, and so is Sunday school. Can't we just do it like just the one service on Sunday? You know, like people have asked you that? Yes. And I remind them and I say, oh, by the way, just to let you know, the Bereans did it daily. They had church daily. So I don't think you can do too much church. I don't think you can meet together and study together too much. Now, yeah, you might get, as the Bible says, the neighbor that doesn't withdraw his foot from your house. but, you know, I understand that, you know, we need to exercise some compassion, as we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. But, you know, there's a reason behind it. So when we see this, we need to understand this, that when you read through in a year, that's great. Some people read a psalm, a proverbs of the day, that's great. Some people read the Bible chronologically, that's great. Mix it up. Some people select scriptures by the book, or they'll do a person, or they'll do a topic. That's great. Let's just put it this way. Any way that you get into the Bible is great. And don't just, you know, relegate yourself to one way or one way only. You have to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because again, when we look at this, the understanding the principle of all scripture being profitable comes down to how is it going to be profitable to me? There may be stuff that I have to look for and search for that the Lord's wanting me to read that next verse or read that next book or read that next chapter or read that next subject or move to the next topic for me to understand something that is going to be applicable to me. And those other things that I just read are going to support that. This is what Oswald Chambers was talking about. Well, how am I supposed to do that? You need to soak yourself in the Word of God so that you understand the things that are being written here. So that later on when something comes up that you read, you can go, oh, hey, that's how that puzzle piece fits with that one. I remember when that started happening in my life. I had a lot of Bible knowledge. I had a lot of stuff that was downloaded into me. But I'll tell you this, when I started realizing these certain things fit together, and the Lord said, you see that piece over here that you had no idea what to do with? Yeah. What do you think about that over there? And I'm like, oh, it fits. And I got excited. Why? Because the Lord was showing something. There was biblical understanding. There was spiritual discernment. And that's what we should be desiring. Is there maximum profit for certain passages? Depends on where you are in your Christian life. The book of Ezekiel may not be profitable for you right now. It may be in a year. Somebody may say, oh, you know, the book of Job, that's interesting. It may not be profitable to you right now. But when your world falls apart, it's going to be profitable. We all understand that there's certain things that are going to be profitable in this life. Not everything is going to fit into a specific category. And you know what? There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because not every single last one of us is at the same place in our Christian walk. There is no specific formula. And while you may read through and see something that might be profitable for you right now and might be something that the Lord's working on you with, I guarantee you in about 2 years' time, those verses that you were thinking about that may not be profitable for you yet will become profitable. So I believe what the Bible says. All Scripture is profitable. Look, I understand that we want to maximize our time and we want to maximize what we're doing, but God he is not bound by time. And I will tell you this, you have all the time that the Lord is going to give you. And if you use that time and redeem it correctly, God will show you things. Is there a specific way? No. Is everything profitable? Yes. Is it going to be profitable right now? No. You ever get something as a child and you just kind of like, what is this? You know, there you are as a child and your, you know, your grandfather or an uncle or something like that, you know, gives you something and you open it up and you're like, what's this little gold piece of metal? I don't even know what this is. And he says, hold on to it. Keep it safe. And the parents are like, you gave him what? You know what he's going to do with that? And the parents are freaking out and they're like, you need to make sure you keep that in a safe spot. And they're like, okay. Because you have no idea what it is. And then one day you're sitting there as you're mesmerized by your teacher in the class and they start talking about gold and they show you a picture of gold and you go, hey, where have I seen that before? And then he starts talking about, oh, yeah, that's like $1,700 an ounce. And you're like, what? Do you know how many Lego I can buy with that? Do you know how many jelly beans that I can shove in my face? You go home and you fly past your parents and you rip that open and you're looking for it and you go, oh! And you go to your parents and say, I want to sell this. And they go, no. You're like, what? It's mine. No. Keep it. It will be of importance later on. And it's more valuable to you then. That's the profit of the Word of God. Because it all is going to depend on how God gets the glory at what point in time. Seek to know Him. Seek to know His Word. Seek to know what He wants in your life right now. Trust what God is going to show you from Scripture. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Tune your ear to that. And I'll just make mention again. Other books can be harmful. And I'll say this about commentaries. Commentaries are not inspired.
Right.
I've read many a commentary. And there's been many a commentary that I go, blasphemy! You don't say that. No, that's wrong. And I've got like 700 scriptures to line it up. People do that. Why? Because it's written by men. Sometimes they write it for an agenda. Sometimes they write stuff out of ignorance. Sometimes they write things maliciously. Commentaries are not inspired. Understand that they might be helpful, but understand that they also might be flawed. As I've said, dictionaries are also flawed. They're written by men. They're not inspired. They're not preserved. We have to understand that. Other writers, other books that are out there, I'll say it like this, you know. Some of those books can be harmful by giving a false doctrine or a false impression about something. There are some things that are like in the Apocrypha or in some of these other books that will give you a false impression about what God is telling us and what God teaches us from Scripture. We have to be careful about that. I'll give you a good example. While it's a modern day example, you'll understand this. A while ago, this guy wrote this, and I realize the time, I'm going to be done here in a moment. He wrote a book, and it was called The Shack. If you've ever heard of it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard of it, don't read it. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. Okay? You're like, well, it's a book. It's got to have some value. Yeah. Maybe in the apocalypse. If you don't understand that reference, you'll get it later on. But not now. It's not going to have any meaning for you at all. I mean, when you got a guy that sits there and says that that God is an African-American female and that Jesus is some type of hippie that's on dope and the Holy Spirit is some sort of spiritual New Age Asian woman, run. Run. Run fast. You know, as I was talking about, what is that book good for? In the apocalypse, it'll start a great fire. You're like, you condoning burning books? There's some that do need to be. You're like, well, somebody might know. Really, there's stuff that's garbage. There's just stuff that's garbage. You don't listen to that. You don't need that. You know what? Stick with what the Bible says. Stick with what the Word of God says. You don't need the extra stuff. You don't need the extra stuff. And why is that? I want to turn to one last passage over in the book of 1 John. Turn to the book of 1 John. We'll close with this. Usually I do this study in over a course of like several weeks. But in 1 John, There's a key important component that we realize about in 1 John chapter 2 that the Lord teaches us. You know, you don't always need somebody to come alongside and show you some things. The Lord does use men and women to do that, to teach you. But at the same time, there are many people that did not have men and women to teach them, and they understood the Word of God and exactly what it is, and they're able to identify false doctrine without ever having been taught, without ever going to a seminary, without ever going to a Bible college, without ever attending a Sunday school class. And why is that? Because in verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." What's he talking about there? The Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you. You have to learn how to recognize him, though. You have to learn how to know which is the right spirit and which is the wrong spirit, which he talks about in chapter 4. But I will tell you this very clearly. There have been men and women throughout the ages that have found things that the Lord led them to. I mean, Martin Luther. How did that happen? That was the Holy Spirit. The Pope sure didn't, and neither did any of the cardinals or the bishops or the priests. And the Lord taught them. Things like that happen. The Holy Spirit is still doing his work. He hasn't retired, because there's now Bible colleges, by the way. So understand that. He still works. He still works. Hopefully this is kind of given an understanding, given a little bit of it. Again, as I said, this is a very lengthy subject, and I can go through in more detail about certain points. Usually, as I said, this is taught over the course of 5 or 6 weeks, because it is a very intense subject matter about how to study the Scripture. But this gives you, if you will, a very good overview, a 30,000-foot view. It's not nap of the earth. We're not flying over trees. We're flying high above the clouds to get an idea of what this all looks like. But if you need more detail about it, this is your question. Please feel free to come see me. Say, I want some more explanation. I want to expound more on certain things. I'm more than willing to do that. And again, if there's ever a question where you don't think I answered it, come to me. We'll discuss it, and then I'll answer it again. So I want to make sure that people understand and get the idea of what's being put here. But I also want to make sure I understand your questions correctly. There's times that I don't always get it, what's written down, and I might have to ask somebody about it. But I think this one's clear. If it's not, come see me. We'll get it taken care of. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Brother Mike Perry, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?